Good evening, everybody. This is the gospel meeting. As I look around, I see a lot of young people. I see a lot of young kids. I want to speak to you tonight about the love of God. And I want to do it in a way that is very simple. Let's begin by singing hymn number 4. And some of you have driven quite a long ways to get here today. I know we did. And so maybe it'd be nice to stand up to sing this. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Long I was chained in sin's darkness. Now by His grace I am free. Savior of sinners. Savior of sinners like me, shedding His blood for my ransom. This is the Savior for me. Number 4.
Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me.
Sing number 6. You know, these hymn sheets are such a blessing. And we've sung from these hymn sheets so often. But sometimes I like the Echoes of Grace book with all the hymns in it. That's what I grew up with. But you know, God's love is the same no matter what hymn sheet we're using. And I would like for us to sing number 6 together. God in mercy sent His Son to a world by sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified. 'Twas for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory of the grace shining in the Savior's face, telling sinners from above, God is light and God is love. Sing number 6.
God in mercy sent his Son to a world that's sin undone. Jesus Christ was crucified, but for sinners Jesus died. Oh, the glory of that grace shining in
message of the gospel concerns the destiny of your never dying soul. I would like to read from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. It's almost as if we are standing here and the Lord Jesus himself would walk in and speak to your soul. I hope that you don't see me standing here. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to God's thoughts. You know, an ambassador is somebody that represents the interest of somebody else. Is that right, Bob? And so we are representing God. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. What does the word reconciled mean? You know, sometimes we have to reconcile our checkbook. Because what I think is in the checkbook and what the bank says is not the same. Or I work in agriculture. Sometimes the number of tons of urea I think are in the bin is not what the computer says. And we have to reconcile it. That means bring them together to agree. Notice here it doesn't say reconcile yourself to God. It says be ye reconciled to God. That means God's standard is the requirement for you. And because we're told here be reconciled to God, there's a problem. Turn back with me to the seed plot of the Bible. I love this book. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. I would like to make this as simple as ever I can, especially to you younger boys and girls. Now, you may have heard the gospel hundreds of times, but I want to make this as simple as I can to you. In Genesis chapter 3, we all know the story of Adam and Eve. God put Adam and Eve in the garden. And he told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, let's read a little bit here. Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, he shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. This is the introduction of sin into the world. Sin. Satan did the first sin in this story. He lied. But he had to get God's creation, he had to get Adam and Eve to disobey. God had put Adam in charge of his creation. And Satan got Adam and Eve to disobey God. And they ate of this fruit that they were not supposed to eat of. And sin entered the world. And immediately, there is a change. They knew that they were naked. And what do? They start sewing together fig leaves, right? To hide themselves. You ever sew fig leaves together? Probably not literally, but figuratively we have, right? Think about what Zacchaeus did when the Lord was speaking to him. He said, I do this and I do that and I give tithes and we're sewing fig leaves together. They knew that they were naked. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Did God need to ask that question? Was he puzzled about where Adam was? No, he wasn't. God asked that question for two important reasons. Number one, to establish that man was lost. And the call goes out, Adam, where are you? He was lost. The other reason God asked that question is to show out that God was seeking for the sinner. God is seeking the sinner. Immediately, he began to seek the sinner. You know, it says in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, speaking of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God begins here in this early, or in the third chapter of Genesis, God begins to lay out the plan of salvation. And he first establishes that God was seeking the lost sinner. And now let's read verse 15. This is God now speaking to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Early on, the very beginning of the scriptures, God is showing that salvation would be brought and that the seed of the woman, a human, mankind, a man in whom God could find all of his delight, would bruise the head of Satan. And that person is his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told in Romans chapter 5, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And because of what Adam and Eve did, and sin entered the world, God's creation was spoiled, and death was introduced. We find in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. We don't like that, do we? There was a broken relationship here. God, who was holy and just, if I can say this reverently, was offended. The relationship between God and his creation was broken. No longer could they have fellowship together. It says further down in Genesis 3 that God drove them out of the garden. Verse 23, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Sin entered the world. And because Adam and Eve sinned, that has come down to every single one of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a problem. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. It says in Job, vain man would be wise, though man be born as a wild ass's colt. One of you young men, what's a wild ass's colt known for? Nice, gentle behavior. It's known for stubbornness, wildness. And that's the way each one of us has been born. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Separated from God. So now I would like to turn to 1 John chapter 1. These are the words of the Apostle John. The Apostle John was a man who had a very close, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus. This is what he says. I could really read a lot here, but I'm not going to. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God cannot have sin in his presence. His very nature is light. And we have, all of us, are dead in sins. And that's a problem. You know, if we could think back over the counsels of God throughout the Old Testament, we could see, and I mentioned earlier about the woman's seed bruising the head of the serpent. But all throughout the Old Testament, we see God laying out the plan of salvation. Think about when Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden, it says God clothed them in coats of skin. And those animals had to die. And there was blood shed. Think about Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. And the question goes out, my father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And the answer comes back, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Exodus 12, the Passover. It's to take a lamb out of the flock, keep it, to kill it, put the blood on the door. God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. There's many, many other examples. And there came a day. Let's turn to Isaiah 6. There came a day when the question goes out. I believe God asked this question. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. I believe the Lord Jesus we could see in that answer. Here am I, send me. And so, God sends his beloved Son into this world. He's born to Mary. One of the first things that's said about him is there was no room for him at the inn. And he was born in a barn, in a stable. My understanding is it was probably a cave where they some dug out of the side of a till maybe laid in a manger. You know, I had milked cows for a few years. The mangers that we had weren't very nice. We didn't have them filled with nice fluffy straw. They were kind of dark and wet, dirty. That's what environment the Lord Jesus came into this world. And as he grew up, and he began to be about his father's business, like when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple, and his parents thought he was lost. And he says to them, "Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" You know what that business was? It was to go to the cross of Calvary to lay down his life for you and for me. And over in the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John, we read things like, "The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" Things like, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." God sent his beloved Son into this world to die on the cross of Calvary because that was the only way that he could deal with our sins and be just. You know, you might say, why couldn't God just wave a magic wand, if you will, and just make sin go away? In Romans it says, the wages of sin is death. And there had to be blood shed. There had to be death. You know, there are a number of times in the Gospels where God spoke publicly, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Turn to Isaiah 53. You know, the day came when the Lord Jesus was arrested and he was sentenced to be crucified. You know what those people said? "Away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him." And the Lord Jesus was taken out there to the cross, to the hill of Calvary. They laid him down on the cross there. I take it was probably on the ground, and they begin to nail his hands into that beam and his feet. They stand it up, and there he is, God's beloved Son. There's a witness given by one of the thieves that was crucified with him. "This man hath done nothing amiss. The Lord Jesus was there hanging on the cross for you and for me." Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He has brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Then he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. He was not hanging there for anything that he had done. He was hanging there taking the wrath of a sin-hating God for you and for me upon his own blessed head. The time came when God darkened the sun, and for 3 hours he poured out on the head of his son all of the anger and wrath and punishment of a sin-hating God on his beloved son. You know who he did it for? It was for me. It was for you. You believe that? He did it for you. And he did it for me. And you think about the Lord hanging there on the cross, crying out to God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" God poured out the wrath against sin on the head of his beloved son, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. And so that sin could be dealt with. You know, it says in Romans that he might be just and the justifier. Let's turn to that. I think it's Romans 5. Maybe I'd be wrong in that. Romans 3. Romans 3:26, to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You know, God had to properly and righteously deal with sin. Bob, what would you say if there was a judge here in St. Louis that, let's say, I'm just going to make an example here. Suppose I murdered Jim tonight. That would be pretty bad, wouldn't it, Jim? Suppose the judge said, "Well, you know, Jim is pretty old anyway, and yeah, we're just going to forget about it this time." Would that be right? No. That would not be a righteous judge at all. And God could not do that in the question of sin. He had to punish sin. And he did punish sin. But he doesn't have to punish you. He poured out that punishment on the head of his beloved son. We read earlier, the wages of sin is death. I didn't finish the verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, after the verse we read earlier, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God took his beloved Son and made him sin for me and for you, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's go back to 1 John again, this time to chapter 4. You know, the Apostle John writes so beautifully about the Lord Jesus. 1 John 4, we'll begin with the end of verse 8. God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. It's a hard word. Some of you kids might think, you know, Bernie, I have no idea what you're talking about. Propitiation, I think in a simple way, means a fixer of broken relationships. Is that right, Bob? God sent the Lord Jesus into the world to die on the cross, to fix the breach, the offense caused by sin. And the Lord Jesus was the only one that could do that. Of all of the people, through all of the history of time, when God looked down upon this earth, the only one that he could look upon and say, in thee I am well pleased, was his Son, the Lord Jesus. And he sent him to the cross to die for you. Will you accept that? You know, people will say, oh, I'm a pretty good person. When I get to heaven, God and I are going to have a little chat, and we're going to weigh my good deeds and my bad deeds, and God's going to see that I've been pretty decent. And no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The only way that you and I can enter heaven is by having the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our hearts to wash sin away. You know, I have a little bit of a burden. So do some of you young people. You know, I sat through thousands of gospel meetings. And I know that some of you have too. Here's a story the Lord told in Matthew 22 about a wedding feast. And at that feast, there was a person that didn't have a wedding garment on. Let's turn to that. This is Matthew 22. Verse 11, when the king came in to see the guests, there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away. Cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here's my burden for you young people and you kids. I hope that there is nobody in this room that is pretending. Pretending to have a relationship with the Lord. Pretending you're saved. Pretending that you have accepted God's work or the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross, but in reality, you have never, ever really accepted salvation. God takes sin very seriously. You know, the other burden I have is when I was a kid, I knew that I needed to be saved. But I didn't think that it was all that urgent. I got saved at a conference like this under the preaching of a man named Cam Wilkin in Sackville, New Brunswick. You know, I sat through a good many gospel meetings knowing exactly what I needed to do. And I didn't do it. Don't put off accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You know, it's I think it's Ecclesiastes 12. It says, the dust returns to the ground from whence it came, and the spirit of man returns to God who gave it. I hope you'll pardon this. This is a personal reference. About a year ago, I stood by my father's bedside, and he breathed his last. His breathing got shallower. There was a little sigh, and he was gone. And immediately, his soul, his spirit, was carried into the arms of the blessed Savior. I believe I can say that. But you know, friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and death comes knocking, it's over. There was I mentioned I work in agriculture. Those of you that are farmers know that St. Louis is the headquarters of one of the world's largest seed companies. And there was a man that I had a lot to do with named Reggie. He was from this town. He was a inventory manager for seed. I probably talked to Reggie a couple times a week. You know, one day I called Reggie and I got somebody else. You know what I found out? He stopped beside the road someplace here in St. Louis to help a motorist with a flat tire. Hit by another car, instantly in eternity. I don't know if Reggie was the Lord's or not. I hope he was. Just that fast. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Your soul, friend, will live forever in one of two places. You know, when my dad breathed his last, and he was ushered into the presence of his Savior, it was a tremendous victory for him. But you know, there are others that are going to say to the Lord, 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 he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Don't let that be you. You know, young people, I'm guilty of this too, so don't think I'm beating you up. We live in a world that we're consumed by media and Snapchatting and texting and instantaneous communication. You know, when I was your age, we had to write letters to people, and you might get a response back in 10 or 12 days, maybe. Young people, don't be distracted. Satan wants to distract your mind. He wants to tell you, put it off until it's too late. Romans chapter 10 tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, it's open to everybody. The gospel goes out. The story of God's love, the story of God sending his own son to die and a substitution for you and for me, goes out to everybody. But you know, God will not force his way into your heart. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door. I don't think I quoted that quite right. Anyway, God will not force his way into your life. Will you have him? Has the Lord Jesus ever done you wrong? Never. Never. He loves you. He died on the cross to redeem you. His blood was shed. You know, it says in Leviticus, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it unto you upon the altar, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And all of those sacrifices in the Old Testament, millions of sacrifices, rivers of blood that was flowing, it was all pointing to one event. There's the Lord Jesus, and he's hanging on the cross. And it's beginning to be the end of the day. And the soldiers come out and they're going to break the legs of those on the cross. And they break the legs of that first malefactor. And they break the legs of the other one. They did that so they would hang down and suffocate faster. It's an act of terrible cruelty. They get to the Lord Jesus and he's already dead. You know what the last words of the Lord Jesus were before he died? I think I'm right in this. It is finished. Or was it, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's what it was. But the Lord cries out, it's finished. All of God's demands against sin paid in full. Paid in full. Suppose, Jim, that I owed you $750,000. And I came to you and said, you know, Jim, I feel really bad about this. So from now on, I'm going to pay cash. Could you just forget about that other money? You going to do that? No, you're not going to do that. We can't go to God and say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf from now on. Lord, I'm going to do it right. You know, it says God requires that which is past. So there's the Lord hanging on the cross. A soldier sees that he's already dead. He takes his spear. He just jams it up into the side of the Savior. And one last act of cruelty. And out flows the blood of Jesus. Blood and water flowed out. We read in 1 John, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to say to the Lord Jesus, I believe that you did that for me. I accept it. Suppose that we brought... Ron, suppose we brought here, Ron, right? Suppose we brought you a nice birthday present here. And you looked it over and said, I don't want that joke. leave it out there. Is that yours? You rejected it and threw it in the trash, right? Don't reject the gift of God. Don't reject the gift of God. You want security in your life? You want peace in your life? You want purpose in your life? Give your life to the Lord Jesus. It says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father were one. John, you got big hands. It's like the Lord Jesus has you in his hand like this. God has his hand like that. Security. God wants to give that to you. You know, Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world. The Lord Jesus came to settle the question of sin. Will you accept it? Will you believe it? I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing when I was a kid. Oh, don't turn the Savior away. He's calling unto you today. Oh, cry out unto him and pray, or weep in that great judgment day. Oh, your time's running out. Run, sinner, run to the arms of the Savior. He's calling you, come. Oh, rest not, don't sleep till the matter is done. Oh, flee while you can from the wrath that's to come. You know, God's offer of salvation is not going to be open forever. Think about Noah and the ark. For 120 years, the message that God is going to judge went out. And the day came that God said to Noah, come thou into the ark. Come thou and thy family. He didn't say go. He said come. That means the Lord was in the ark too. And God shut the door. And judgment fell. Dear young people, one principle of scripture you need to get a hold of is this. God always makes a way of escape. Always makes a way of escape. But I tell you, dear friends, reject the Lord often enough, and you'll die in your sins and be sent into a lost eternity. I don't want that for you. The Lord Jesus doesn't want that for you. Will you take him? Will you make him your Savior? It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that means give him authority. Turn your life over to him. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and they laid him in that tomb, he didn't stay there, friends. He didn't. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, a stone was rolled away. And God brought out such wonderful blessing. He's alive. The Lord Jesus is a living man today. And he wants to be your Lord and Savior. Will you take him? Will you have him? You know, if he is your Savior, it'd be nice to tell somebody. Sometimes that can be a little bit hard to do when you're young. It's worth it. I remember when I was a young person, a good friend of mine turned to me after a gospel meeting like this. He said, "You know, I'm happy to tell you that the Lord Jesus is my Savior." I tell you that. That really meant a lot. And I said it back to him too. I said, "The Lord Jesus is my Savior. Lord Jesus loves you. He wants you. Will you take him? He's the only answer to sin. And it's a disease we all have. But Christ is the answer." Yeah, you think about what's going on in our country. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Can't quote that exactly right. Bill, how does that go? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Days of the Son of Man. It says the whole earth was filled with violence. Is there any doubt that that's true today? Just look what happened in Las Vegas and other places. The coming of the Lord Jesus is very, very near. It could be tonight. Don't be left behind. Well, dear young people, I've spoken this to you in a great deal of weakness. I really feel inadequate. But I want you to know I love you. But much more than that, I want you to know that God loves you. God is love. God is light. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior.